everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.85, and we're glad to have you aboard here. We got a great message. We're actually going to get into part three tonight of the incredible series that we've been doing on binding or breaking a curse, removing the obstacle from our pathway. Well, you know, Satan is like a roaring lion. The Bible said he's seeking now. He's actually hunting for those who are workers of the kingdom. That's who he wants to stop. If he can stop one testimony, if he can delay you from making contact with a believer, a potential believer, like to save a soul or to remove sin or to cast out a devil or to bind a devil. Now, we're going to talk tonight about how to break this spell, how to remove a curse, and basically how to curse. We're going to see if it's biblical. And I know a lot of Christian churches tell us not to curse, but to bless. Now, who was he talking to? Talking to his family. Now, of course, you wouldn't want to curse your family, but there is a binding contract that was established in the book of Deuteronomy that we're going to read from tonight, or talk from, or access the information necessary to learn how to overcome, to oppose, or to resist a curse that is placed upon you by your enemy. Now, I told you to start with that the earth is cursed, not you, but the earth. Now, that means that the earth will not bring forth, if you will, a utopia. Man has to struggle for his life. Man has to earn his bread by the sweat of his face. Man has to survive. If you plant a organic plant, you can rest assured that three weeds will surround it and try to kill it, or try to rob its nutrients. It's not supposed to be that way, but it is, simply because of the transgression. And so just basically, even a weed abiding under the curse. Now, if that curse was removed, there'd be no more weeds. If that curse was removed, there'd be no more tares. If that curse was removed, there would be no more satanic forces that you would have to overcome or to oppose or to resist. Now, let me give you our text tonight and build a gestalt of thought upon this very scripture. Matthew 16:19. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever that thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever that thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now again, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So what is above is below, and what is below is above. Now, I've got a question for you. Now, I want you to think about this, because it may be a trick question. Now, the Bible itself explains that Yahweh could send you, Yahweh purposely could send you a strong delusion. He could make things seem as they are when they are not. Or he could make things that are not seem as they were. So we've got to figure out the mind of our Creator and abide. The Bible says a man is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, what does that mean? That means you go by the process of the legal approach. You see, if you go illegal, just like, let's say a Mexican is trying to get in illegally. Well, today he doesn't have much opposition. All he has to do is walk across the border, under the fence, over the fence, through the fence, in most places, or no fence at all. We've got one of the most unsecured borders in the world. We are no fences, basically. And so the illegals are coming in. Now, if you were spiritually illegal, would the Holy Ghost catch you? The answer is a resounding yes. So a man must strive lawfully when you bind with the keys to the kingdom. Now, this is the keys to the kingdom, and the kingdom is, it says, heaven. Now, I want to show you where heaven's at. If I was to say the kingdom of heaven, you would think about automatically, and it's a natural thing for us to think, well, the kingdom of heaven is out there. When the Bible says in Luke in chapter 17, verse 20, that the kingdom of heaven is not out there, it's in there, in you. So then, in you. You have the power in you, not out there. Remember this now. You have the power. Said whatever you bind, not whatever I bind. Now, we know that he could bind everything in the earth, on the earth, under the earth, around the earth, through the earth, or the earth itself. We know he could do that. But he placed a curse on the earth that it would not yield its full potential, and instead of the things that are natural, organic, for our body nourishment, up comes briars and thorns and thistles, which is a type of the devil. A spirit, a pressing spirit, or a depressing spirit, or a possessing spirit. Each one of those are, it varies in its context. An oppressing spirit is something that is constantly working through somebody. Now, you can blame, you know, the devil on a lot of things, and really it's the evil in people around you. The Bible said, flee. Now, listen to me now. To take away the power of the devil. Flee the very appearance of evil. Binding is like a temporary spiritual handcuffing. Now, a cop could come up and place you in custody. Not under arrest, in custody. He could temporarily handcuff you and to feel safe in your presence and examine you, and if he could find nothing to arrest you for, he could make that a temporary binding, but he could set you free. Now, that's what binding, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, you see, there's a mirrored image of what is above is below, and vice versa. With the kingdom of Luke 17:20 being in you, not somewhere else. Everybody uses the carnal mind concept to try to figure out the great mystery of what we're all about out there, as opposed to what we're all about in here. In you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So then, you can bind a demon spirit, much like tying or handcuffing or putting in chains. You cannot bind a person's free will. You can bind a person, but that don't mean that you can bind his free will. You can restrain him from doing something to you, like I gave you the analogy of a police officer placing you in custody, temporary handcuffing you to stay safe as he examines you, pats you down, or gets to the bottom of what appears to be an illegal transgression. Now, if he finds it to be true, then he can go ahead and place you under arrest. Now, that's legal. Binding, listen to me, and affecting or influencing a person, you remember this, you cannot bind their free will. They may give in to you because you're bigger than they are. They may just temporarily agree with you so that they can come another way against you. That's how tricky. Paul said we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil will never tell you the truth. He'll lie to you, thinking, making you think that he's changed his mind or his will. And that's not true. The only thing that can change the mind or the will of a person is having an experience, a spiritual experience in the internal being. Your change is in you, the hope of glory, not out of you. Everybody's looking for an experience change out of them. But the change come, or the curse, or the breaking of the curse, comes from within. Change your habits. If you've got bad habits, the way to get rid of a bad habit is to put a good habit in its place. So if you're practicing the legal approach to pleasing the Father. Now, if a man's ways please the Father, even his enemy or the devil or the demon will be at peace with you. But that don't change the will of the devil. His will is to destroy you, to kill you, or to steal you. That's his mission. You see, that's his purpose. That purpose is like the tare that grows up with the wheat. That tare will always be a tare. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how you make it look. It still has the characteristics of a tare, and the tares are made to be bundled and burned and destroyed. Now, that is at a particular time. But with the rope or the chain or the handcuffing of a demon, that means a temporary restraining order as you are trying to figure out how to control this demon, because the scriptures in Matthew 16:19 gives you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, here is the $64 question that a lot of people don't really know. Let's go back. Remember the scripture that I gave you in the book of Revelations, chapter 12, and verse 7. And he laid hold on the old dragon, the serpent, and bound him. Whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on the earth, or vice versa. Now, listen what happened. And the devil was cast out of heaven. So there is no demons in heaven right now. So how or what does this mean when it says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven? Now let me give you what we call the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where we wrestle not against powers or spiritualities or principalities. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle with these things that we can't change. It's impossible for a leopard to change his spots. So don't think that you're ever going to bind the devil and change his personality. He might be pitiful. Oh, he can give you a pity party. You can feel sorry for the devil. He can win your sympathy even after you control the devil. You see what I mean? I mean, the person that's handcuffed could say, please, officer, they're too tight. Would you loosen them up? Now, he only wants them loose so that he can slip out of them and grab your weapon and kill you. You see, that's a mission of the devil. You can't change his appointed destiny with his nature. He's always going to be the devil. You can bind him in temporary. Now, casting out devils. What does that mean? You say, well, I'll give you power to cast out the devils. Now, just because you cast him out, you could basically open up a can of worms. Because when he's cast out, he's seeking a home. Now, it's legally positioned by the petitioners of the demons that came out of Legion in the New Testament scriptures. They petitioned the caster out, in this case the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body. When he cast out these demons, they begged him to not give them the fatal news that they were going to go to hell and never have opportunity to possess anyone else. Now notice their very subtle intelligence, even with the Messiah. He permitted these demonic demons that were inside this man named Legion. Now the Bible says he became a publisher. And the Bible says he went and published when he was found in his right mind. You see, the devil will make you, although it's your own mind, and although it's your mind that he's messing with, or he's trying to trick or deceive, and Paul said we're not ignorant of his devices, and yet when it seems so normal to your mind, you don't know you've got a parasite locked into your either psychic or physical being. If it's a physical possession, he's in there. Now, he can come out with the power of casting out demons. However, if you do not have the knowledge to know that he's not going to hell until his time of final binding, total submission to the will of the legality of the scriptures, where it said in the last days that Satan is bound and cast into the abyss. Now, his agents, the fallen stars, who Jude talks about in Jude 1, he said they're in their chains of darkness. So when you get influenced of demonic activity in your body, you're coming through the carnal mind. They're not coming through the spiritual mind, if so be that you are a child of the King. Now remember this. It says, whatever you bind in heaven. Well, if the devil is not in heaven, how are you going to bind him? That word must be an error. Now it also is pointed out that it means that the gospel is a powerful witnessing tool that keeps a person from accepting the truth of the matter if you're on the dark side as opposed to the light side. So it's a matter of light and darkness. If you are a child of darkness, a leopard cannot change his spots, so you're always going to be in your mind. Now, you may have someone greater that's going to dictate to you, and he's going to make you like it, whether you like it or not. And you're going to look for a chance, as a roaring lion, you're going to look for a chance to pounce on him at any unsuspecting moment of those who bind you. Now we have an example after an example in the Bible. I'd like to give you one briefly here of the man, the witness, the prophet of Yahweh. He was sent to witness to Yahweh's people. And he was told after he witnessed the message that was given to the prophet to not return the way he came and to not stop or abide or eat or drink in that city that he witnessed to. It just so happened to be that there was another prophet of Yahweh Sometimes the foes are those of your own household. Somebody you sleep with, somebody you eat with, somebody you worship with. Your acquaintance that can be affected or deceived by the power of Satan or a demonic spirit working within that person. You see, they look good, talk good, think good, walk good, and yet they're not good. Now, what does that mean? That means that the kingdom of heaven is not out there. The kingdom is within you. So then, when he said, whatever you bind in heaven, he's talking about in you. Heaven is in a sense, the word is related to the power of the air. Now we're getting back into loosening. We're talking about the God of this world, which is Satan, working through his army of demons. That means that he'll either deceive you himself, or if he can't, after he's cast out, he will come back, go get his friends, and when I say his friends, it's your acquaintances. It's your friends. See, it's in you. Satan is working in you, and to deceive you, the Bible said he goes out and gets seven more spirits, more powerful than himself, and then he comes back, and he starts again on you. So, binding Satan and casting him out doesn't solve the problem. You see what I'm talking about? He can come back after he's cast out and wanna take up a boat again. Let's say that you've got some kind of a weakness. Let's say that it's a sinful weakness, and the Bible said sin is a transgression of the law. If you don't strive lawfully, you cannot cast out a demon because the spirit of the law is against you, and therefore you have no power against the demon who only obeys the command of those who live righteous. And we're going to prove that in the book of Deuteronomy and the curses and blessing when we actually get into the book of Deuteronomy. But first, I'm laying the groundwork for you. I want you to see how we're missing. We want somebody else in heaven to do our work for us. When he said, I'll give you the power, he didn't say he had the power. He didn't say that he was going to use the power. He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now we know that Satan is not in heaven because he's been cast out. So don't look for him in heaven just to change his spots, which is impossible for him to do. Once a demon, always a demon. Once a devil, always a devil. You cannot change the nature of a devil into a saint. So beware, lay hands suddenly on no man. That's what that means. Because you see, the devil can counterfeit. The devil can put on a good show for you. The devil can live as close or closer than you do just to deceive you. If you give him a reason to fast more than you fast and to pray more than you pray, he's a hunter for your soul. And if those things, you're using those things that you watch, and you watch him fast more than you fast or pray more than you pray. See, the devil can pray. The devil can fast. The devil can act good. And he'll go out of his way. He'll make a point to walk as close or closer than you ever did and to build your respect, to get your confidence. And then when you are smitted or smitten by the cunning craftiness of the devil, you just open the door for a fall. Now, what about it in heaven? If you look up the word heaven in Greek, you'll find that it's another word which means air, or in the ether, which is where the spirits dwell. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and wickedness in the air. It's the air is premixed, just like in the Gulf region. Now they're smelling the oil, the stench. And today it rained in New Orleans, and it literally rained oil in the streets, picking it up from off the coast, and it carried it up into the clouds and returned it to earth in the form that it picked it up in. Because the distiller that is in heaven, built to recycle the air and the water as it mixed, it couldn't distill the oil. But it put it back on earth as it came, went up as oil. And I said that the kingdom of heaven is not where Satan dwells. He's not there. He's cast out. Read Revelations again, 12 and 7. And he cast out the old dragon, the serpent. Michael and his angel bound him. Now that means that they put him under arrest. They didn't place him in custody. They arrested him and took him out of heaven, out of the eternal abode, out of a place where Yahweh dwells with his angels. He no longer resides with the holy angels. They're split. There is good angels of light and bad angels of darkness. Choose this day, as we read in Deuteronomy, like choose this day before, behold, I set. It's Yahweh that sets a blessing or a curse, not the devil. Yahweh sets a blessing or a curse before you, and then you have to surrender that carnal mind and to gain power to with the keys to the kingdom. It gives you power to bind in heaven, in the air, the prince of the power of the air. That's what you're binding. So when your mind, well, I'm going to bind the devil up in heaven, he's not there. You see, that's deception. The devil, according to the book of the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the devil and his angels, when you see them, you would believe that they're angels from heaven. They're good guys. They always, like I say, go out of the way to make you think that they are good guys. When a man tells you the truth, it hurts, it cuts, it wounds. The word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It hurts when you hear the truth. So when the devil, instead of giving you what you need to hear, he gives you what you want to hear through your carnal mind. And it appeals to that demonic spirit within you. You see, Satan can come and reside in your carnal mind, and if you yield to your carnal mind, just like the man Legion, where Yahweh cast the devils out and put them in the swine, the unclean. They requested to go there, by the way. Notice he didn't put them into a sheep, which is a clean animal. He put them into a swine, which is an unclean animal, and they ran the swine. When these demons entered the swine, they ran violently down the hill. I mean, they were squealing to the top of their voice when these demons entered into them, and then they ran into the water, and they drowned themselves, and the swine died, and the spirits of these demons was released again into the air. You see that? It's like the rain that recycles the system of nature that Yahweh's provided for the recycling of the ocean waters, or the moistures, and it comes back into the earth atmosphere as clean distilled water coming down upon our planet. And Yahweh has not created any water since he created all the water. Not one drop has been depleted. You say, water is going to disappear. How can it? with as long as there's a sun and a moon, then there's a refinery or a recycling. But when oil is picked up in the ocean, if the ocean becomes half oil and half water, both are picked up, and the oil is deposited back down along with the rain. Only it's acid rain, or only it is oily rain, just like it rained today in New Orleans. I got a sister that lives out there, close by in the Gulf. She's sick. She's suffering. Her family is sick and suffering because they smell these. They see you cannot. You cannot clean a demon. He's uncleanable. You can move him. You can bind him. You can throw him out. But he's going to come right back, and if he's a smart demon, he's going to bring his friends and acquaintances and convince you that everything's fine. Don't worry. Just like it was in the days of Lot, the days of Noah. The devils were working overtime to convince that generation that there was no God, that there was no punishment. And so then they began to think in negative terms, as the demons had possessed their very thoughts with the demons or the power of the air. Now notice this. Notice in the positioning of where we're at. The Bible says that we're seated with the Messiah in heavenly places. Now, you think the devil's going to be there? Of course not. As long as you're, that means in the spiritual setting, you're positioned with the Messiah, the HaMashiach, you're sitting in heavenly places. It's referring to heaven as in the place where we go after we die, but rather a realm is what it's talking about. You go to a realm of your own thinking. Whatever you bind in heaven is a thinking. It's a positive attitude of whatever you say, whatever you bind. That means that you must separate yourself from the carnal mind, because the devil will come right back to your carnal mind and say, see, you didn't do no good. Instead of having one bad thought, I've now brought six bad thoughts to you, and see, you're defeated. But the Bible says we've got the power. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we're seated with him in heavenly places. We as humans were below the angels and the demons. But as believers, we're now seated above the angelic realm and seated with the Messiah, so that the word heaven, here it's referring to the spiritual realm. The air where the spirits dwell and operate. The air is permeated with these demonic demons. And every time that the carnal mind can be accessed by the spirits of the power of the air, it will wound you, it will weaken you, and if it keeps on in the carnal realm, that's why you've got to die. That's why that you've got to break this curse that is upon you, and the curse is the carnal mind. Oh. Well, I'm beginning to get your drift of the message, Pastor Buddy. You mean my carnal mind is my enemy? Greater in you is the spirit mind. Lesser within you is the carnal mind. To be carnal minded is death. So then, the demons have succeeded in binding you if you think in a carnal, terror-like attitude or position of thought. Whatever you say is what you are. You see that? We're trained in negative reasoning. Well, let's look at the word children. My little children? He didn't say my little kids. Kid is a goat. So we're trained in English language purposely now. We're trained purposely to think in negative terms. Well, you tell that kid over to shut up. You just confessed that that kid was a goat. And he's not a child of the kingdom. And so you lord him lesser by your words you're justified and by your words you're dim. Now look at the growth of the kid. When he grows up, he becomes an adult. That's a short form of adulterer. So Satan, with the power of your mouth, saying that the authority to bind and loose is provided to us here on the earth, and whatever you bind in heaven is the spiritual power of the air that is trying to get you to think in a negative position and to turn you from the faith. Just as Paul mentioned that the deputy that had been baptized and sanctified, Satan brought an agent to him immediately and tried to turn the deputy from the faith. And Paul cursed him with blindness. You see, it was Paul's word. Instead of saying, what denomination are you? See, that's how we relate today. Well, there's good people in all denominations. God loves everybody. You see, this is the lie of the devil. Just like children are not kids, and kids don't become adulterers. And so we got to change our language, which has become a barrier to our faith, if we speak positive and speak the proper word. When you go in court, you better know what to say. Even in a court of law today, it is dangerous for you to say the wrong thing. And if you don't know what you're saying, then by your words you're justified, or by the words you're condemned, or by the words you escape, or by your word you're hung. It means that the demons, which in Ephesians 2 and 2, we know that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, or the prince of heaven. Not for the physical place of dwelling of Yahweh and his angels, but he was cast out, and now he becomes a figment of the negativity of your carnal mind, because he authored the carnal mind through Eve. See, it was the seed of good and evil that came out of Eve in a person of a flesh man. You have a super subconscious, which is the spirit mind, and if it's trained and accessed and it uses proper words, then the carnal mind is not acceptable to Yahweh or accessible through your unbelief. The Bible said that Yahweh himself could not do many miracles because of unbelief. Unbelief is a damning sin. Binding is a powerful witnessing tool that keeps a person from accepting or accepting Yahweh. See, if you witness, the Bible said immediately, this is the parable of the Messiah himself. He knew the process of how Satan operates. He said, when the word is sown, immediately cometh the devil and sows the tare. That means that he brings in a confusion issue, and the carnal mind is divided, and a double-minded person becomes weak and is unstable. As long as you are double-minded, you can't make up your mind, you don't have the powerful witnessing tool that would overcome the opposition of the tear in your mind. Oh, you know you didn't get saved. You know that you're still got that old carnal mind, and you still got them old evil thoughts like you used to have, and you're running around here thinking that you're somebody. See, that's how the devil works. The devil is a liar and the father of it. He's going to bind you, or you're going to bind him. It's the strong man. You cannot bind the strong man unless you're stronger. you cannot overcome the power of the devil as long as you keep your carnal mind. It's not subject to the righteous mind of Yahweh. Many people believe that losing and letting go. And the Satan's, the demons, they came out of a legion and they got in the pig. They had to have a vehicle. You see, your words is a vehicle. For Satan, the power of the air, the prince of the air. If you say one negative thing about a brother and the brother picks it up, a brother that's offended is harder to win than a fenced city. Loosening, like binding, can be done here on earth, and it takes effect in the spiritual realm. Loosening, however, refers to the loosening of a captive or a person in bondage. You bind demons and you loose the captives. When the Messiah himself set free the woman with the issue of blood, he said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Loose him and let him go. See, this is the power of the spoken word. We've got to change the word from a blessing to a curse, or from a curse to a blessing. And he set before us each one, and the tongue, which is full of deadly poison, can bind us or loose us, depending on how we use our language. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you one thing, that Yahweh is a strong tower, and the process of deliverance consists of three main parts of breaking the curse. Number one, you've got to tear down the strongholds that exalts itself. Now, that's the carnal mind. The stronghold of Satan is your carnal mind. If he can get you into a negative thinking system, then as you think, the mind speaks. Now, if you say that you have this problem and you acknowledge it, and the carnal mind will accept it, and it will, because it's geared to accept negative. You ever notice how hard it is to fast? We say, well, that's the carnal mind. It's the carnal mind that, well, I think I'll fast today. Okay, let's see exactly how that works. Remember light and darkness of the carnal mind, good and evil. I said before you, good and evil. And Satan was the flesh of a carnal of good and evil. You see, the carnal mind can be good. People can be good to you in a carnal. The fact that the carnal mind is not subject to Yahweh means that you can give all your goods to feed the poor and have not charity. It wouldn't profit you nothing. So being good don't take you to heaven. Being right. Now, why would you want to fast when the flesh man says, I ain't going for that today, boy. I'll give you a splitting headache. The longer you set your mind to fast. Now, if it's a carnal mind set, then Satan will give you 99 reasons not to fast that day, and probably he's going to win and you ain't going to fast. Question is, would you be better to fast today as opposed to eating and filling up your gut and being carnal? I remember the powers of the air saying, you can't do that. I remember when I started out fasting and praying, trying to break the curse, trying to get over the power of the devil. The process of deliverance consists of three main parts. The first one is tearing down the stronghold. You've got to be greater in you, in your mind, than you are in the carnal mind. The spiritual mind. Of course it would be more beneficial to you and your body to fast. Fashion is healthful and healthy. It'll help you tear down strongholds. If you've got a weakness, fast, it'll overcome that. Now, also, you've got to, in the process, remove the legal rights and then cast in out the remaining demon. Remember, the devil himself has legal rights. You've got to know, as a spiritual lawyer, how to judge the matter legally. Except you strive lawfully, you cannot break a curse. And the curse is in you. And I'll prove this tomorrow night, because I'm not going to get in it tonight anyway, in the book of Deuteronomy 28. And I hope last night that you followed my suggestion and you read the whole book and studied it real close. I'm going to show you things that you probably missed. I know I did for 20 years or 30 years of reading Deuteronomy 28 and trying to figure out. This is the scheme of the real estate and the process of how to overcome through a specific place on earth in what we call a prayer circle. Breaking the bonds legally of the demonic powers of the spirits in the air. We have actually come on a site, got a prayer circle started, and you could hear the demons literally crashing in the heavens, exiting the power above the city. If you don't believe that demons control cities by the power of the air, you don't know anything about what I'm fixing to teach you in this series. And as it's going here, I could be here another 3 or 4 hours of ministry and trying to get this message to you. Now, remember, you've got to cast out legally the demons, or the remaining demons. You see, some will hide from you. We've all got them. If you try to cast out demons without taking away the strongholds or the legal rights that they're holding on to, then you can't really expect to achieve a complete successful deliverance. And once you remove these two blockages, it's vital in going about a complete and successful deliverance in the process of tearing down strongholds, removing the legal rights of the devil to be there, because the carnal mind says, oh, this is acceptable. I don't need to fast today to have Yahweh. You just lying to me. Because I feel like I'm just as good as you are, and I don't fast. I don't pray. I don't give up things that I want. I don't have to deny myself what I want. Well, then keep lusting for it, and the demons will grow more powerful. Get pride. You know, the Bible said that pride goes before a fall. If you want to fall, keep pride. You know what breaks pride? Submitting, humble, humility. Fast that carnal man down to where he's so humble that he don't think about. You see, when you get hungry, and you're really hungry, you don't want to hear fussing, you don't want to hear fighting, you just don't feel like it. It sounds awful. But when you're full of food and starch and boy, you get a good Donnybrook going, I mean, you feel so complete that it's the perfect place to be. Boy, you feel excited, the blood, the adrenaline begins to flow. These are all deceptive agents of the spirits of the power of the air that's filled your carnal mind that you refuse to set aside and to submit through death to kill the carnal mind and its desires. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming on. And I'll be back Friday night at 9:30 here at Hallelujah Acres. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul, and your tithes and offerings. I appreciate you supporting me. I really do. I need your help as we struggle from these horrible hard economic times, we also struggle on our radio receipts and to pay our bills. We have to pay our bills to stay on the air. If you would like us to continue, please consider sitting down and asking Yahweh in a spiritual setting. And I'll let the carnal man talk you out of it. He don't really need it. He's okay. He's on there every week. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how much we have to pray and fast and seek Yahweh to keep a positive mind to continue preaching the gospel on the radio. It's a labor of love, a labor of desire, a labor of positive thinking. We have to grow in grace and knowledge. And to have your support, when we get that love offering in the mail, and we see it, we take these, and we offer it up. And tomorrow night, Yahweh willing, I'll go to the 28th chapter, and I'll teach you things that you have never considered in the book of Deuteronomy. It is powerful in the process of deliverance of yourself. Save yourself from this untoward generation. A lot of people are interested in saving others, and they don't even have their own self saved. Did you know that the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of Yahweh? Your temple? You are the temple of Yahweh. You are that little atom that Yahweh's looking for. If you are an atom rather than a tear, or if you are an atom rather than the devil, you know that you pass from death unto life. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is coming soon for a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. I want you to know that he's waiting on you to make that decision to wash your body in pure water in the great, magnanimous name of Yahweh. It's a name above all names. It's a name that is given to Yahweh's people. It's a name that will free you. In the book of Revelations, chapter 21, verse 7, it's a lamb that's coming home. It's the lambs that belong in the city. They have the Father's name in their forehead. And I encourage you tonight to break the curse and the spell of the demonic demons that give you a seem right way to deceive you and to kill you and destroy you. That's Satan's mission on his job, and it all works in your carnal mind. Remember, never, never accept things as they are. Accept things as you want them to be, and you'll break the curse in your life. Well, Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Jewel of the South. May Yahweh take a good liking to you, and may you break the curse that's upon your life through the carnal mind. I love you. I'll see you Friday night. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to comment tonight, I'm live around the world. Area code 423-338-1972. Many blessings.